Today, I am very excited. I'm always excited. But today I'm excited because we're doing not just something that will help you with leadership, but something that will also help you feel more confident about your English. Specifically, we're going to talk about, now when I say this, people have a love-hate relationship with these. We're going to talk about prepositions, specifically in relation to collocations. So collocations are, they're something that I love focusing on for advanced English, because when I have my clients come to me, and again, I work with people who are upper intermediate to completely fluent in English, but they're also perfectionists. This might be you. So they always come to me asking, I really want to improve my grammar. I want to elevate my English. What do I do? When you're a student, when you're learning English academically, the answer is easier, but also that's not realistic for where you are now. So typically what my approach is and what I want for you is I'll just talk to them, get a sense for what they need. Mostly at this level, what I find people struggle with are those little nuances that they're still holding on to from their native culture, native language. Prepositions are usually at the top of that list. But if you just study prepositions, I don't find that that's an effective approach because there's so many. So what I do is I narrow it down to business collocations. So back to what a collocation is, collocation just means it's a pattern. So it's not a grammatical rule. In English, there are a lot of words that we use in a specific order and it means something specific. For example, quick food, I would think of, oh, something you can just like grab quickly. I don't know. Like it doesn't really, there's no visualization. But if I say fast food, I think of McDonald's, I think of Burger King. So that's an example of a collocation. Now there are tons. There is noun to noun, adjective to verb, or adverb to verb. And in this case, we're going to do prepositions. Specifically, again, we always want to make it more and more specific. We're going to focus on business collocations that are going to be useful to you. It's going to specifically focus on, for today's practice, collocations within the preposition in. So I'm going to, I look through dozens of them, and I picked out 10 that I thought would be the most useful for you. What's unique about this lesson today is that you as a non-native speaker and a leader and a professional is that you can't afford to just learn more English. I don't want you to just make a list of the prep. In fact, I'll add a note in the links below with all of the things that you're going to see today on the screen, and I'll give you more examples. Because I want you to repeat after me. When you're watching this on YouTube later, pause it, repeat after me. You cannot afford to just learn more English. You need to speak English confidently. That's gonna help you speak English fluently. So today I'm gonna focus a lot on how you deliver the message, how you can be a more effective leader through the use of in collocations. Told you. It's exciting because what you're learning today is not just these 10 expressions. It's also how to learn differently. And that's a game changer. All right. Now, the first thing I want to show you is our Leadership Communication Summer Program. So in addition to all the things you're learning with me, if you want a really intensive program, I'm calling it a summer boot camp because it's designed to give you big results, better results, faster. So it's a 3-month program, 12 weeks. It is intensive. There's a group component. If you want to upgrade, you can do one-on-one coaching with me as well. So I'll include the link below so you can join us. It starts May 1st. All right. So jumping in, the first collocation is interested in. We're interested in exploring potential partnership opportunities with your company. Now, first, let's go over the pronunciation. With this one, we eat one of the syllables for the first word. So it's not interest, but interested. And notice it's more of a schwa sound instead of tre, tra. The T, the first T sounds like a CH, interested in. And if these are things that you like and you're in my advanced pronunciation program, go to the T masterclass. I go over the 6 different ways that we pronounce the T in English. Now for the sentence, relax your shoulders. Now remember what I teach you. When you're practicing English, I want you to read one sentence 3 times. So we already did it once. Now we're going to read it again. The first time, it's always going to be kind of awkward. The second time, you're going to focus more on the fluency, the rhythm. We're interested in exploring potential partnership opportunities with your company. Okay, now the third one, that's where you're going to focus on delivery. You need to visualize. You're not a student anymore. You're not just reading it to get a grade. You need to visualize. Okay, I'm in the meeting. Let's say you're the head of marketing. You're meeting with clients. You start feeling a little bit of the anxiety, right? You're like, no. You're going to calm it down. You're talking to a person. So you can't read it like you're public speaking. It's a conversation. You know what? We are interested in exploring potential partnership opportunities with your company. You see how that changes? This is why the third time visualization is key. This is how you take your English practice to the next level. And if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you pause it and repeat after me. In depth. To better understand customer needs, we conducted in-depth interviews and surveys. All right, now this one, first the pronunciation. If you're from a background, I'm thinking like if you speak Arabic, you're probably pronouncing your P's like B's. So you want to practice this a little bit more. So first, let's practice the P. P. Make sure it's aspirated. If it's a B, it's going to sound like B, B. There's more of a vibration. So P, P. In depth. Do it slowly because English is muscular. Do it slowly so you can make sure your lip placement, the air, the movement, it's going to feel awkward, but do it slowly so your mouth can start developing the muscle memory. Depth, 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 in depth. So this is the unvoiced TH. So you're going to feel air. It's light. And again, if you're in the pronunciation program, the second masterclass is the TH, unvoiced and voiced. To better understand, now this is the second time. First time, second time you read a sentence, you're focusing on the intonation. Remember, in American English, we tend to read or speak like every 2 to 5 words is a chunk. So if you're reading the full sentence, that's going to sound robotic and it's also going to be exhausting. And the intonation, most importantly, it'll sound less natural. So let's try. To better understand customer needs, we conducted in-depth interviews and surveys. Great. But now let's make it less robotic and visualize. Okay, so here, let's see, the visualization is you are an executive. You're giving a presentation to the board. You're letting them know what you're doing to move forward with the project or with the product. Okay, so you are in front of a screen. You've got 12 people in front of you at a table. It's kind of intimidating, but you're relaxed. They need the information from you. You want to be clear and calm. So if they ask, like, okay, what are you doing? Well, to better understand customer needs, we conducted in-depth interviews and surveys. Notice that when I visualize, I tend to, especially if it's conversational, I tend to think, what could someone ask that I would have to respond? And I find that triggers a more conversational tone. In trouble. Employees who consistently violate company policies may find themselves in trouble with management. First, the pronunciation. The T in trouble sounds like a ch, and then the O is silent. So don't say in trouble, in tra. In trouble, bull. Whenever a word, usually when a word ends in L-E or like B-L-E, just flip the E and the L to make the right sound. So it sounds blah, but bull. In trouble. Now, this sentence I put on purpose because this is where real life English is really important, especially as a professional. This particular sentence is correct grammatically. It's elevated. However, it is incredibly annoying. And what I mean by that is the way that the sentence is constructed. And when you say it, it's very passive and it tends to sound passive aggressive. And that's not the kind of leader I want you to be, which is why I say it's annoying. If a leader said this, I would have to fight the urge to roll my eyes. And I would not take them as seriously. This is not, it's just not, it's not good leadership. I don't find this is conducive to establishing trust with your employees. So instead of being passive, which is like may find themselves in trouble with management. You are management. It's almost as annoying as referring to yourself in the third person. Like this is not effective. So you can be more direct. You can be more, and honestly, I opt for directness, but I opt for directness in, it can be difficult. And I understand that it depends on what kind of relationship you have with your employees, because I find that using this kind of style, it also sounds condescending. And you're not talking to children, right? You're talking to adults, even if you might be annoyed with them because they're not following the policies. And this is the third time you've had to tell them. As a leader, though, you've got to keep calm, stay confident. So I would encourage you to find a different way to say what you need to say. So be cautious of, and this is where you have to be cautious of if you're using a translator or even ChatGPT, make sure you include the tone. So if you're looking up, I need to talk to my employee, like give me a sentence to tell them that they're going to get in trouble, like whatever the prompt might be. Just make sure you add, please use professional tone, but make it friendly. And test it out. I always test out tone. Make it friendly. Make it concise. Make it direct. Don't be passive aggressive. So you want to include tone when you're looking up ideas. And then the delivery. Employees who consistently violate company policies may find themselves in trouble with management. No, I wouldn't take you seriously. So even if you do use this structure, the tone is important. So employees who consistently violate companies' policies may find themselves in trouble with management. So these are the steps that you need to take. So then just be more action-oriented. Participate in. We invite industry experts to participate in panel discussions at our annual conference. Okay, for the pronunciation, it's not par, but her. Par, per, per, t, per, t, per, it's smaller. So if you say participate, it's too big. So look in a mirror. Make sure that when you're doing this with me, you're looking at yourself. Participate. So it's pay, like money. Pate. Participate in. Okay. And notice that when I say it together, it there's no more aspirated T. It's not participate. Participate tin when you're doing LinkedIn, the linking. Participate. Your tongue stops, but there's no air. Participate in. We invite industry experts to participate in panel discussions at our annual conference. So do you see what I mean? Where we don't do the entire sentence all in one breath. It's usually every two or three words. Not two or three, like two to five. And that's the rhythm of American English. So that's something you can check for yourself. Record yourself. Listen to it, and now you know what to listen for to improve. And the third time, let's visualize. So here, let's say you're doing a live video, and your audience are a bunch of different companies maybe that are under your company, or if you're the one leading the conference, you want to encourage them. So this has to be an encouraging, positive tone. We invite industry experts to participate in panel discussions at our annual conference. So notice how slowing down is a great way to change up the rhythm and also draw attention. Now for the pronunciation here, it's not annual, but it's that nasal American A. Annual. If you're a Spanish speaker, it's like the ñ. And then there's like an IU instead of just you. Annual. So that W sound is a W intrusion in linguistics. That's what we call it. So it sounds like there's a W in there. Annual conference. We eat that middle syllable. Friends. Conference. Good. And remember, when I'm giving you pronunciation feedback, don't stress out. Ask yourself, is this a high frequency word? Is this a word that I need? Annual, I would say, is high frequency for all of you in business because you're going to talk about annual reports, annual one-on-one reviews. So conference, maybe you never attend them. Maybe you never talk about them. So that would go lower on your list, your priority list for pronunciation. In denial. Employees who are in denial about their performance issues may resist constructive feedback. Yeah. Okay, pronunciation. In denial. So not denial, but small. In denial. So this might be counterintuitive because you're looking at the letter. So it's aisle. So there, that yeah. That's another example of a Y intrusion in American English and in other languages. Sometimes we insert sounds to facilitate the pronunciation. Or it just might be a pattern. Denial. In denial. All right. Second time. Employees who are in denial about their performance issues may resist constructive feedback. Okay, so now visualization, third time. So here you are an executive talking to the managers in your company, and you're helping them. Maybe it's a seminar that you're helping them on how to be better managers, and you're telling them how to deal with problematic employees on their team. Okay, so you want to be empathetic, right? You want your tone to be, you want to create that trust. You want to kind of create that sense of, I know what you're going through, and this is what's happening. Employees who are in denial about their performance issues may resist constructive feedback. And then you're going to tell them, and this is how you deal with them. So notice how the visualization is the most powerful thing you can do to help you enhance and really take that English practice to the next level. And by the way, since you're leaders, this is an issue that you're going to have. You're going to have people who resist your feedback. So this is where you really want to work on your leadership skills. Some basics, I would say two like quick reads that I would recommend for this particular issue. Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. It's a book about negotiation. I think a lot of the negotiation tactics that he talks about would be really great strategies in trying to, because really you're trying to negotiate with them in a sense. That might feel kind of annoying to think that, because you might think, no, I'm the director. He needs to do, or she needs to do what I tell them. But again, this is real life. So it's going to get messy sometimes. So I think those understanding the psyche of how to negotiate can help you with feedback and with getting better performance. Another one is, I mean, it's not my favorite book, but it is popular in my field. How to Make Friends and Influence People. I was going to say How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, if you've seen that movie. How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. There are a couple of sections in that book that I feel will help you just get some really simple strategies that you can implement on breaking through and making that deeper connection that will then help you find a way to give feedback in a way that gets the action that you need. Involved in. Investors who are involved in early stages of a startup can provide valuable mentorship and guidance. Okay, so here, there are a lot of different languages that don't distinguish the V sound like we do in American English. So if it sounds like involved, so look in the mirror and see if your lips are together like this, to an American, that's going to sound like a B as in boy. So it's really important to practice this sound because the V is very common. As you can see, there's like 20 Vs in the sentence below. So the trick is look in the mirror, make sure your top teeth are touching the top of your bottom lip in, and it vibrates. So if your teeth are touching your lips, it's going to sound like the right letter or the right sound. If your lips are touching your lips, it's going to sound like a B. So you check it when you're looking in the mirror. This is where you get that physical check because sometimes you don't hear the difference. That's okay. I have a lot of clients who are like, I don't hear the difference. That's fine. That's why I give you physical ways to check. Because even though you don't hear it, somebody else does hear it. And so by making sure the muscle, the placement is correct, is going to give you a more accurate sound. Involved. So it's not involved. Again, if you're in the pronunciation program, I think it's the fifth masterclass, is a simple past ED. There are three ways to pronounce the ED ending in American English. In this case, the E is silent and it just sounds like a D. So the V goes straight into the D sound. Involved. and then you have linking involved in it, involved in it. More of these investors who are involved in early stages of a startup can provide valuable mentorship and guidance. So notice how I read that. This is the second time. You already kind of know what the message is. So now you're forcing yourself to pause, and it's unnatural. Like, I paused more than I would in real life because you're trying to train yourself to understand the rhythm. Now, the third time, you're going to do the pauses, but they'll just be much, much shorter. So in this case, you are, who are you talking to here? Let's say, you know what? You are talking to your friend. A friend who is kind of a startup, and they're coming to you for advice, and they're like, what do I do? So here you're going to have a tone of, I got you, right? So you're going to relax. You know, investors who are involved in early stages of a startup can provide valuable mentorship and guidance. So I would recommend reaching out to So even notice like my posture, right? I'm thinking like, well, we're probably hanging out at lunch. I'm not as formal. So this is going to help you find your voice. The visualization is so that you don't sound like a robot every time you speak English. It's going to help you find your voice, just like in your native language. You don't use the same tone, the same posture when you're talking to your mother as you do your best friend from high school, as you do your boss or whatever the dynamic that, you know, like we have different voices for different situations. As a non-native speaker, you might have one voice for everything because you haven't explored that yet, and that's the next level for you. We are in the process of hiring new staff to expand our customer support team and improve response times. All right, American is more the schwa. So we have linking. When I say linking, if you haven't done these videos with me yet, I'm referring to connected speech. And that is the best thing you can do to help you speak more naturally. In the process of. Now notice that the F in of is actually a V. So it's not off. That's off, like on, off. That's the F with the air. OF sounds like a V, so it should vibrate. Of. In the process of, we are in the process of hiring new staff to expand our customer support team and improve response times. So notice it doesn't sound natural yet, but the second time you read the sentence, you're working on intonation. And now the third time, who are we talking to here? I would say you are, let's say you're a director and you're reporting to the CEO and you're letting them know what's going on, where you are in the process. I'm glad you asked. We're actually in the process of hiring new staff to expand our customer support team and improve response times. So here, you want to be confident. This is where, and I did the hand gestures on purpose. A lot of you, what you're probably experiencing is in English, you're really stiff. You don't move. And you probably, in your native language, will use more body language. And depending on where you're from, you might use a lot of hand gestures. Italy. And even if you don't, there's still some movement. So it's really important to bring that out. The third time where you're visualizing, you also get to figure out, who are you? How do you communicate? Bring up the hand, record yourself, see it and think, do I look confident? Do I look like I'm saying what I want to say, or do I look nervous? Do I look stiff? So that allows you not only to analyze yourself, but now you know what you're looking for in order to improve. In private, you need to discuss sensitive matters in private to maintain confidentiality. Mm-hmm. Okay, so first pronunciation, private. So this one, if you look at just those four letters, it's tempting to say date, but it's actually but. So imagine like an I and no E. In private. You need to discuss sensitive matters in private to maintain confidentiality. See how the rhythm there? So it's like the first 6 words, and then 2 words, and then 3 words. Now you've got the intonation. Now the visualization. Let's see here. I am an executive and I'm talking to one of the managers, and let's visualize something negative. They had a conversation in public that shouldn't have been had. And so you're now talking to them and you want to make sure, like, you got to protect liability. You also have to protect your employees. So you're going to be a little bit more stern, serious, if you will, but not angry. Well, you can practice that too. Practice what your voice is in anger, because as a leader, do not yell, but you do need to practice how to convey anger in a professional way. So first, we're just going to do the be more careful tone. You need to discuss sensitive matters in private to maintain confidentiality. So different, right? Once you have the visualization and you've decided the tone, it completely changes how you read that sentence. So now let's read it like you're angry. You need to discuss sensitive matters in private to maintain confidentiality. Ooh. So there's that. Now look, I do not encourage anger and like abusive anger, but you also want to, when you're practicing, you want to figure out, what does that sound like for you? And then record yourself and think, is that the kind of voice I want to use as a leader? How can I do this better to evoke, to really show, lead by example through tone? So it's good to play around with it. Now this one for pronunciation, something I want to mention before we continue is maintain. So that's mine, but may, like the month of May, a, hey, may, maintain. And then confidentiality. The first T sounds like an SH, confidentiality. And the second T is a flap T. That's the American like T that sounds like a little bit like a D. Good. In detail, we will discuss the proposal in detail to address any questions or concerns. Now, this is interesting because some people say detail, non-native speakers, but that's actually more British English. So for the American, in detail, so not tile, but tail, A, in detail. All right, the second time, we're focused on intonation. We will discuss the proposal in detail to address any questions or concerns. Good, so you've got the, you're not reading it all together. When you're practicing it slowly like that, it really lets you observe if you're doing it all in one breath or if you're pausing. Now for the visualization, let's see here. You're the manager of a team. Your team is sitting around the table and you're talking about, let's say, what the goals are for the quarter. So it's, everyone's overwhelmed with information. You want to speak clearly. You want to make sure that they, if they're overwhelmed, that means you have to be even more calm. Because if you're anxious, it's just going to make it worse. As the manager, as a leader, your tone helps their emotional well-being and directly affects their productivity. All right. So you know what? I'm going to show you what this would sound like if you're nervous. And remember, you might be nervous because you're overwhelmed with the English. But when that nervousness or anxiety is conveyed in your tone, they're going to think you're anxious about the work, about the project, and they might doubt your leadership capacity. So I'll show you what this sounds like if you're worried about your English. We will discuss the proposal in detail to address any questions or concerns. Oh, even my stomach's tight, my forehead's tight, because there you're probably thinking, am I using the right word? I just want to get this meeting over with. Now we're going to calm. We're going to realize it's okay if you mispronounce something. That's not why you're there. You are not their English teacher. They are there because you are their leader. You have years of experience and you're there to make them feel calm and trust that the person at the top knows what they're doing. Okay. We will discuss the proposal in detail to address any questions or concerns. Right? Like there, you're like, oh, okay. Like we're going to address the questions at that time. Like it just is a different sense of connection. So make sure you're playing around with that. And remember, do not let the English nerves or anxiety override the confidence in your leadership and your expertise. You already got the job. You're in the position. You are good enough to be there. So don't let your worry about if your English is good enough override that. In control. It's important for leaders to maintain a sense of calm confidence to remain in control during times of uncertainty.
Yes.
I so agree. Okay, for the pronunciation, in con, not con, but con, in, it's almost like a, it's a schwa, but if you want to visualize it like a U, in control, tr, like tree. The T sounds like a CH. So if it sounds like in control, that's you reverting back to your native language sounds. In control. In control. So notice how my lips change for the two O's because they're different sounds, even though they're the same letter. I know. English, right? Okay. Now for the sentence, I want you to think about you are the CEO and you are giving a speech to other CEOs. You're at a conference. Your audience is all leaders, executives, and they're all looking to you for advice on how to be a better leader. And you're like, oh, well, let me tell you, right? So I'll even prep when I'm doing visualizations. I'll do silly things like that because I want to trigger that moment. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm sitting in a chair. It's a velvet chair. I'm on a panel. I have four other CEOs that I admire next to me. I have my legs crossed. I've got my hands on the rest. I'm excited to share my expertise. And so they're asking you in the panel, like, what do you think is important? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's important for leaders to maintain a sense of calm confidence to remain in control during times of uncertainty. So notice I'm pronouncing these a little bit more openly because I'm thinking, okay, if I'm in a panel, if I'm on a panel on stage, my voice has to carry, even though I have the microphone. When you're a public speaker or you're in situations where you have a bigger audience, you have to enunciate better so that they can understand you. So it's not just slowing down, but it's the enunciation, which as a non-native speaker gives you more time. So it's a good thing. Don't rush through it. Speaking faster does not equal sounding more fluent. So remember that. Okay, now for this one, for the pronunciation, uncertainty. If you just read it or when you're just doing one word, uncertainty. But the way Americans pronounce it, we have that uncertain, the glottal stop. So it sounds like uncertain. If you're in the pronunciation masterclass or the program, go to the masterclass with the T's again. Uncertain. This is what Americans do, for example, for important, mountain. It's a glottal stop. And what that means is the T is not made with the tongue. It's made with the throat. Uncertainty. 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 I know it's weird. It takes some practice. If you don't feel comfortable with that yet, because that is one of the harder sounds to master, go ahead and just enunciate it, every word, every sound, and that's okay because clarity is your first priority. In times of uncertainty, I can't even say it, uncertainty. Okay, no, practice that, D. Uncertainty. If you're uncertain, you know what? The way to do the glottal stop, say, uh-oh, your throat stops that sound. Otherwise, it would sound like, uh-oh, uncertainty. It's like your throat closes and you're making the N movement with your tongue. Uncertainty. All right, and speaking of uncertainty, we are done for the day. If any of this causes you uncertainty or anxiety, don't worry about it. There are always going to be words that are a little tricky. Honestly, you know what? Let's go back to that slide. Don't use the word uncertainty. If that one freaks you out, change it. You are in control. You are not trying to pass an English test. Any word that causes you to feel, look, or sound less confident, change it. Here to remain in control during times, during tough times. Tough. That's a lot easier than uncertainty. So it's absolutely fine. You are going to be a more successful and productive leader by being confident, sounding confident, looking confident, than you are by using fancier English words. Also, American English, I say this all the time, is a lot more casual than you think. So using C2 level grammar construction is actually going to sound super unnatural. from a speaking perspective, we tend to use B1 if you're looking at the English levels. If you're using ChatGPT to get examples or Bard or any of those, you want to, I would recommend specifying, give me example, if you're looking for how, maybe more examples to use the word ambitious. Give me 10 examples for the prompt. Give me 10 examples in the business context to use the word ambitious. Use B1 English level. That's going to be the most natural for speaking. Again, C level is great if you're trying to pass the language test, but C1 and C2 a lot of times is overly formal. All right, thank you so much for joining me for today's lesson. I hope you enjoyed it. If you are interested in more pronunciation help, download my free masterclass at tanyasuarez.com/masterclass. In this one, you're going to love it. I go over the two main difficult sounds that every single client of mine struggles with, the American R and the TH, which we actually talked about today, and also introduces you to connected speech. There are many different parts of connected speech that you can master. The one that's the most popular and the one that's going to give you the most fluidity is linking. So you'll learn about linking and connected speech in this masterclass. Let me know in the comments, what are other topics that you're interested in? Tell me about yourself. I want to know where you're from. I want to know what your experience is in English, because the more I know about you, the more I can create content that is helpful for you.